Welcome to the podcast for Refuge City Church. We hope that the message today blesses you and inspires you to be a refuge that embraces others.
So I want to give you the title of my message this morning. Go right into the Word. How many know, and I don't say this, to be cute in any way. I say this in all seriousness. I asked Pastor Jimmy to begin to play a song right now for us, and it's more than just a children's song. It may have launched that way. I know it's been used in movies as a spoof to be funny, but it's not funny. It's serious. And I just want you all to hear my heart today. I'm going to speak from my heart about the specificity of the circumstances that happened yesterday. I'm going to talk about that, but I want everybody here to know this morning that God is the one who created this world and this universe. I expected a little bit bigger there, so I know some of you are tired. How many of you know God created this world and this universe? He created every intricate part. He created every layer. He created every piece of vegetation. He created every animal life. He created light and darkness. He created the stars, and He knows them by name. So I just want to declare to you this morning, He's still got the whole world in His hands. He's still got it. Are you with me today? And I don't know how you want to do it. He's got the whole world. However you want to do it, how many remember that song? He's got the whole wide world in His hands. Pastor Mark and I, this morning, we had not assimilated notes together. Obviously, the Lord gave him the word that He gave to us earlier. But I just want to let you know something. I was reading in a periodical. Pastor Jimmy, thank you for playing that cute little song. You can go sit with your lovely wife. But I was reading a periodical, and of all places, I was reading it on an airplane. And on this flight, it was very tumultuous. It was very intense, lightning and thunder. If you've ever been on a plane in severe turbulence, it can really freak you out, especially if you're seated over the wings, because they're not supposed to flex, in my mind, that much. In actuality, they're made to do that, but to me, a 777 or a 737, even a 747, the wings aren't supposed to flap. They're supposed to be stationary, and the engines are supposed to work that out. But in this particular story that I was reading, which, whether it's true or not, it really blessed my heart. Airplane was at altitude, had gone through severe cumulus clouds, hit a major thunder and electric wave clouds, and electricity was actually bouncing on the wings of the airplane. It was very intense. The plane at times was dropping 15 and 20 feet at an instant, which caused people to scream out. People begin to cry. It was a very, very, very turbulent ride. And in the middle of the aircraft, just behind first class seating, there was a 9-year-old girl coloring with the light on, humming and reading to herself and singing to herself. After some time of all of the turbulence in this aircraft going on and on and on, there were people sitting around this little girl who had watched her get put on by the stewardess. They realized that she didn't have any parents, but they were overwhelmed at the fortitude of her strength and lack of fear at the circumstances that all of these adults were panicking at, and they felt that she needed to join them in their panic of the moment. So many of the people started to speak to her and started to try to convince her of the intensity of what they were under and what could happen if this plane went down. She continued to hum her little nursery rhymes and color her book. Finally, one of the ladies, out of dear desperation and frustration for her humming, looked at her and screamed out, "Why do you think you can be so calm in the midst of this situation?" She laid her little color crayon down. She looked at the woman very boldly, and she says, "Because my daddy's the pilot." So this morning I declare to Refuge City Church, my daddy's the pilot. He's always had it. He always will have it. And great and mighty is his name. This morning, how do you feel about the future? What kind of world will our children and grandchildren grow up? I was able to spend some quality time with both my son and my grandson yesterday. And this was a resonated theme after my correspondence with my friend from Israel and subsequent phone call from him. What kind of world will our children and grandchildren grow up in? What can we count on to give us any kind of confidence as we look forward with all the chaos that's pelting us daily throughout the world? I don't want to just continue to pound the title this morning. Obviously, the message was redirected today just for this, but he still got the whole world in his hands. But for many people, even Christians, does God really have the world in his hands today? You see, that's the big question. We can be very super spiritual. We can be very anointed in our verbiage. But how many of you know sometimes what comes out of our mouth isn't necessarily articulated through our spirit, soul, mind, and emotions? We say one thing, but if I was to interview people around you after some of the discussions that may have embarked and been impeded upon yesterday in your home, I wonder if people would declare readily as well that know you, that you do walk by faith, not by sight, and that you do believe greater is he that's in you than he that's in this world. Does God really have the whole world in his hands today in places like Israel, China, Russia, Ukraine, Iran, and Gaza? Here in America. You see, part of all of the chaos and the conflict that's been arising is the questions that's been being pinned concerning leadership and government, concerning the travesties of what we as fundamental Christians, and I believe very conservative Christians, still need to hold to. That we live in a land, irregardless of what they want to do, and irregardless of its statement on our currency, above and beyond all of it, we still live in a land in God we still trust. I hope. Can I hear an amen? Amen. Do you still believe in God we still trust? Do you still believe it? Do you still believe it? With all the confusion and chaos, do you ever wonder if God's still got the whole world in his hand? Is God still in control? Does he care? I want to talk about that this morning. I want to talk to us as a church. I want to talk to us even abroad as a nation. I know there are many people, you may not know this, but the biggest amount of attendance that we have had for quite some time isn't necessarily personally in this room. It's our online attendance. And it accumulates literally thousands of views. We get thousands of views every week now. People have connected with us literally all around the world. People are watching today. There are people, friends of Refuge City Church, that are watching today in Kenya, Africa. They're watching it. Their Sunday's over, so they're watching it tonight, right now. I know many times Tanya's here today. I know many times Tanya and Eric make comments as they're watching at their Sunday night. So they get Sunday night service on Sunday morning all over again. Love you guys for that. But in a world of uncertainty, is God in control? I would like to speak on what is certain. And what I know is certain in my own life. God Almighty today is still on his throne. I am certain that the Word of God is all truth from page to page and cover to cover. I am certain that every promise and declaration of God locked in these pages is good to 1,000 generations. I am certain that even though evil men on earth may plan and they may plot and they may devise schemes to control other people and nations of this earth, it is God who exalts one and it is God who uses men upon this earth. That I am certain that God is my healer today, and he did that this week in my back. I believe and I know for certain that he is my provider. I am certain that God is faithful. I am certain that God is all sufficient. I am certain that he will never leave us or forsake us. I am certain that he has given his angels charge over us. I am certain he will protect us, sustain us, and that he is help to the helpless and hope to the hopeless. I am certain that his goodness and mercy shall follow us all the days of our life, and someday I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever and ever. I know in whom I have believed, and I without a doubt believe that he is able to do exceedingly and abundantly above all we could ask or think. I know who he is. His name is Jesus Christ, and he is the one who is and the one who is to come. I know he is the resurrected one. I know he's my redeemer. I know that he's the son of the living God. He's the bright and morning star, and he's the fairest of 10,000. I know that he's the lion of the tribe of Judah and the soon coming king. Of this I am certain, because his word has told me and his Holy Spirit continues to confirm it. Our God is a refuge. Our God is a strength, and he's an ever-present help in times of trouble. Can I hear an amen? Amen. Of this, I am certain today. There is no uncertainty. There is no doubt and speculation. There is no wonderment, and there is no fear. Great is your God, and mighty is his name. Amen. I want to give you three things. God has always held the whole world in his hands. Amen. 1 Peter 1:3-9 says this, "Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ." It's more than just a salutation and an opening greeting that Peter is presenting here. He's making a declarational statement. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. In his great mercy, he has given us new birth into a living hope. How many know that you've been birthed into a new hope? If you continue to live on the hope of this world, you're going to continue to folly and falter and have an emotional anomalies. But if you start walking in the living hope that's been given to you through salvation and the blood of the Lamb and the cross, it'll elevate you way beyond any of this earthly realm. Can I hear an amen? In his great mercy, he has given us a new birth and a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead and into an inheritance. Turn to the person next to you and say, "I'm ready for some inheritance." Say it to him. Look at him. I'm ready. Those of you at home, look at the person next to you and say, "I'm ready for an inheritance." And here's that inheritance that can never perish. How many are thankful that inheritance in Jesus will never perish? It'll never spoil or fade. Kept in heaven for you, who through faith we are shielded. Listen to this. Through faith we are shielded by God's power until the coming of the salvation that is ready to be revealed in the last time. I want to share with you, it's been continually prophesied. There's a coming salvation and a coming harvest that's being prepared, a faith that's being shielded and has been shielded by God's power that's about to be unleashed. How many of you have realized, I'm going to go into it in a little bit of minor detail, but in the darkest hours of people's lives, that's the moment that God shines the brightest. Always been that way and always will that way. How many know that in the darkest hour of the world, that's the moment that you can expect God to shine the brightest and show up the brightest? Verse 5 again, who through faith are shielded by God's power until the coming of salvation that is ready to be revealed in the last time. Verse 6, in this you greatly rejoice. Now, I want to share something with you. I understand times are difficult, issues and circumstances are dreadful. And people that we love are dealing with a lot of different, they're dealing with things that we've never had to face in the United States. I've got people today, I've got spouses, and I've got grandchildren of a dear friend in Israel that's not come out of a bunker for 27 hours. That bunker I have actually personally walked into is approximately 6 feet thick with cement. It has its own purification systems. You won't believe the technology. It's not a townhouse apartment, but it is someplace that when I walked into, I thought to myself, this is the first thing that they built before they built their homes around this. That's the first thing, this kibbutz. I will not give you the tell that it's on, but this is the first thing that they built. They built the bunker for their children and their wives for just a moment like this before they even started building their homes. We can't even fathom that. We can't even grasp that. We don't have any understanding of that. And I'm not so much thankful for that. I'm not so much thankful that we in America have been so sheltered. We all can feel, and this isn't gloom and despair and agony. It isn't anything like that. But for quite some time, due to the choices, not necessarily our choices as Christians, but the choices of the spirit of the Antichrist, there has been a shift that's been changing in the world that's causing the world to embrace a world ideology that we need to continue to contend against. Amen. Everyone hear what I'm saying? We cannot just lay passively by. We cannot just go quietly and softly into the night. The church has to arise, and by our example, we have to let his light shine. It's uncompromising. Sin has to have an uncompromising stand. In this you greatly rejoice, though now for a little while you may have had to suffer grief in all kinds of trials. These have come so that your faith, everybody say your faith.
Faith.
These have come so that your faith of greater worth than gold. So how many of you would say that the minute that you asked Jesus and invited Jesus into your life, you had great faith? You had faith to do that. Come on, just wave at me. It's not a trick question. How many of you would say today, years later, maybe decades later, since you've invited Jesus Christ to be Lord of your life through the ups and the downs of life, your faith is even stronger today than it was when you started? If it's not, you better begin to fast and pray, and you better begin to do an analysis in your spirit as to the degree and the level and the dimension of faith that you walk in. Because there's coming a point, and that this point has arrived. I want to declare it this morning, again, not gloom and despair and fear, that the only thing we're going to be able to hang our hat on in the future is the faith that we know that he is able to complete that which he started in us. It's our faith. It's our faith. These have come so that your faith of greater worth than gold. How many know there's nothing in this world? There's no financial. Gold is the measure that every currency in the world is measured against. And what the Word of God is saying here is it's way beyond anything you could measure it in your earthly stand. When you have faith, a greater faith, that measures directly in the realms and the portals of heaven. These have come so that your faith of greater worth than gold, which perishes even though refined by fire, may be proved genuine. You know why our faith is being tested? It's because God's not looking for dimestone phony zirconium Christians anymore. That's the shifting. I heard someone say, when Pastor Mark said there's a shifting, I overheard just real quickly someone over here say, what's that shifting? I want to tell you what that shifting is. It's the shifting that's been prophesied throughout Scripture. It's been metaphorically analysis like this, that there's going to be a shifting from the wheat from the chaff. The chaff will blow away, and the substance and the fruit of people that believe in him and him crucified alone will stand. Can I hear an amen? Amen. It will come back. It will be solid. I don't know about you, but I want us to be that kind of people. I want you to be that kind of people. Can I hear an amen?
Amen.
May be proven genuine and may result in praise. You know what's going, Pastor Mark did an eloquent job of saying this. I've been saying it for weeks as well. It's interesting that if you look back over the last 4 weeks, messages that have been spoken from this pulpit, I spoke one 4 weeks ago entitled, "This is How I Fight My Battle." I spoke last week, "Trust is a big word right now." All of the accumulation, things that Pastor Jimmy shared, things that Pastor Warren shared. It's amazing to me that God led up to this weekend to prepare us to walk by faith and not by sight. Amen. Not what we hear, not what's being said, but what we know is true within our life and within our heart. Can I hear an amen?
Amen.
May be proved genuine and may result in praise, glory, and honor when Jesus Christ is revealed. Verse 8, though you have not seen him, you love him. How many realize we don't have to see him to love him? And even though you do not see him now, you believe in him and are filled with an inexpressible and glorious joy. Smile and look at the person next to you. You need to have some inexpressible and glorious joy right now. And here's why in verse 9. For you are receiving the goal of your... So there's a goal to faith. Everybody understand that? Faith without works is dead. Faith without application has no purpose. For you're receiving the goal of your faith, the salvation of your...
Amen.
Of your what?
Soul.
So, I analyzed that scripture. I'd never read that before till just this morning, early. For you are receiving the goal of your faith. How many know the goal of your faith is salvation? And how many of you know it's what's stored up for you in heaven? Can I hear an amen?
Amen.
The salvation of, why is souls plural and not singular? Because do you realize this morning there are individuals in this church that are directly related in my bloodline that are part of my soul? If I gain the whole world and I lose my children and grandchildren and anybody with me to the third and fourth generation, what have I gained? So this is what we're going to do on Thursday also. We're going to focus in on Israel and praying for Israel, but we're also going to focus in on our unsaved loved ones that have not been moved and not been wavered yet, that in the days ahead, no matter what happened, they will know to return. They may be living out in the pig pens of the world right now, but the prodigals are going to come home. Can I hear an amen? Amen. And we're going to name them and we're going to list them Thursday night. If you can't be here, I want you to join with us Thursday night. And while you're praying, begin to write down your unsaved loved one because they're your souls. How many know life is not a series of random events with no meaning or accidents that just come and go? Life always has a purpose and a meaning. Problems, conflicts, and struggles all have a purpose. Listen to this. I'm not saying that everything that happens to you is God's will. Pastor Jim, now what are you saying here? Because we've always been taught that God is sovereign and omnipotent, omnipresent and omniscient. Absolutely, positively, can I hear an amen? That does not transfer. But how many of you know that there are things that happen in this world that unequivocally and without a doubt are not God's will, and one of those things happened yesterday? Amen. Pastor Jim, how come you're so for sure on that? I'm so for sure because of what Jesus illustrated in his prayer that he said we should pray daily. Thy... Why would it be in a prayer from Jesus if everything was God's will? How many know we should start praying for God's will? Thy will be done on as it is in, which tells me the answer to the question I'm posing for you. There are things that happen in this world that are not God's word, are not God's will, but they're an accumulation of sin within man and the enemy trying to steal our faith. God's will is not always done on earth. That's why we pray, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Like I said a few moments ago, I'm not saying that God causes everything. He doesn't. God does not cause your problems, but he does use them for good in your life in the grand design and greater scheme of things if we incorporate with his plan and we partner with his spirit and if we trust him. Listen to this. If we maintain the right attitude through the trials and tribulations that we go through, God will work all things out for good. God will use everything that people go through to set us in the position that he wants us to be in. All problems and hear this. All problems and conflicts are opportunities to see God's power work on our behalf. I want to share something with you. If people didn't know it before that Israel was God's chosen people, in the next 3 to 7 days, they will find out that they are God's chosen people. It's not a question anymore. It's never been a question for me. But the world's going to see it, and you're going to see them react because they're not going to like it. Because there's coming a day, unequivocally, where the speculation and the doubt of God is going to be fleeting and going to go away. Here's the main issue that both God and evil are contending for when it comes to all people. Here's the main issue. Your faith cannot move. I've been preaching it. Some of you went, that's like been one of his points for like 9 messages in a row. You're brilliant. I'm kind of getting frustrated about it because my faith is never going to move. Be careful with arrogance. I'm not trying to insult your fortitude. What I'm trying to say is be humble before the storm. Are you tracking with me? It's always easy to make grandiose, spectacular, yippee-ki-yay cheerleading statements about yourself before you're in the midst of the battle and the fight. But I want to share something with you. Before you get in the middle of the battle of the fight, the question of your faith not moving has to be settled and answered so that the fight doesn't dictate your emotional anomalies while you're walking through it. Everyone with me? How many know the enemy loves to mess with emotions? Look at the person next to you. I just wanted them to see an emotional person. Just being truthful, I could jump around the bush today. I mean, no, I don't care how mellow, how contrite, how absolute you are. There's a button I could push that would light your head to red, Jerry. We all got a... You know what I'm talking about. Your family, if I was to ask your family, what's their button that makes the vein in their forehead start to pulsate? They go, oh, let me tell you. And if I ask, are they rational about it? Oh, no. And they don't even care. I'm going to let that settle a minute. See, here's been the problem with Christians before, is Christians before have said spiritual things before they got into a battle and a fight. When they got into a battle and a fight and they got into a moment of doubt and frustration, they realized that their faith was moving when they would have told you before, when everything was going good, when the family was all healthy, when life was all well, when they were doing wonderful in the 80s financially and their IRA was growing by leaps and bounds. People are like, I wasn't even born in the 80s. Well, there were some good days, I'm just going to tell you. How many know what I'm talking about? I put this as an exclamation, but it probably needs to be solidified as an integral question as well. Your faith cannot move. How does your faith get displayed to a lost and hurting world or to lost and hurting family members that you're going to pray for on Thursday to find Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior before the trumpet call of God and the whole world flips upside down on its heels? It's going to come from you. That's the pressure that none of us like. I know all the answers, but don't look at my life as the example to pitch those and to prop those. God's saying that's not good enough yet. That's the shifting with the wheat and the chaff. Your life and your example had better match the faith you claim. Oh, Pastor, it got real quiet. He was doing so good, and I was almost even having fun till he started in on this. What's in your life that still needs to be refined by fire? It's not an option whether or not it can stay there. What the statement is it's got to be released and come out and be confessed. Pastor Jim, are you always making a generalization that everybody in here is full of sin? Absolutely, positively not. What I am making a statement on this morning is this and only this, that all of us need to exemplify Christ before we have our own agendas. Amen. So don't leave here with anything different. We all have an agenda at different times. We all have a political agenda. Some of it was expressed yesterday. We all have an agenda. We all have agendas in life. Pastor Jim, is that wrong? If that agenda gets manifested greater than the example of Christ in your life, then it's wrong. That's where we need to settle it. We need to settle our salvation. We need to work out our salvation with fear, and it needs to be serious. It's not casual. Salvation's not casual. Salvation is the all and all. Pastor Jim, what kind of verse are you going to attach to your faith cannot be moved? I'm glad you ask. It's one you all know, and it's one that I love, but it's one that sometimes we don't reiterate enough. Proverbs 3, 5 through 7. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he will straight your paths. Be not wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and turn away from evil. I'm going to read that again. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and do not lean on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he will direct. This version says straighten your paths. Be not wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and turn away from evil. That's what will fortify your faith. I'm not partnering with it. I'm not partnering with the music. I'm not partnering with the stuff. I'm not partnering with the internet. I'm not partnering with junk. I'm not partnering with things I've partnered with before. I'm not partnering with the stuff I've tried to justify. I'm not partnering anymore. I'm not partnering with my opinion. I'm not partnering with my anger. I'm not partnering with my emotions. It is time for me to arise and shine, for the glory of the Lord is rising upon me, and it's going to rise upon the church. Can I hear an amen? Here's my questions. Statements under this. Can you continue to embrace faith in your personal Heavenly Father, even when you can't see any immediate evidence of His activity in your life or in the world around you? Do you really walk by faith? Your answer to the question will determine your response to the continual and continuing uncertainty in the world right now. Your answer to that question will determine the uncertainty in your personal life, your family, and your work. There's a lot of uncertainty in people's lives, and a lot of it is they continue to embrace. Do you know the last church's warning, the Church of Laodicea? Everybody say the Church of Laodicea. Do you know that's the last church in the context? It was a church of Asia Minor, but it was also the church in the era and the age. Do you know that we're living in the Church of Laodicea now? This was the one thing that God said. I would rather you be hot or not. Cold. I'd rather you be hot or totally in the world, but for you to be half in and half out. To me, that's like vomit in my mouth. That's how he said it. Pastor Jim, that's very offensive and that's very direct. It's very much truth. God is wanting a church in these last days to be hot or to be cold, but not to be lukewarm. How many know we must fortify our faith and understand that God's able to use broken things and disappointed things and discouraging things to do the most amazing things? Can I hear an amen? Amen. I want to give you Hebrews 12, 1 and 2 this morning. Therefore, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us also lay aside every what? How many of you have just felt like there's a weight on you and you don't know why? And I'm not just talking metaphorically. It's almost like there's physically something. You're just bogged down. Therefore, since there are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us also lay aside every weight and sin. What was that?
Sin.
Which clings so closely, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us. Looking to who? Looking to who? Verse 2, looking to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is seated at the right hand of the throne of God. Can I hear an amen?
Amen.
Seems like the most amazing works of God generally are launched in times of brokenness and despair, in periods of darkness when it seems like God's nowhere to be found. That's what God does. But the question for you and the question for me is this: can I maintain my faith in God even when I can't see His hand at work? Even when I don't see it, He's working. Even when I don't feel it, He's working. He's working. He's working. He's working. Some of you this week need to spend some personal time aside away from God, and the doubts and the disappointments and the frustrations and the aggravations of the things of this world that has caused you in any way to have a splinter of doubt towards your holy God, you need to lay it down at His feet and you need to repent and say, God, it's a brand new day. That was then and this is now. That's a question we should all consider carefully today. I wonder, has your faith in God wavered at all in the past 2 or 3 years? Have circumstances caused you to doubt or question Him at all? I want to remind you that the story of our salvation was birthed at a time of extraordinary darkness. Do you know that the whole birthing of the salvation that you so desire to emulate, I hope, and to come underneath, was probably one of the darkest times and darkest eras in the world that had ever seen up to the moment we're about to go into. And that's the moment of the Antichrist. I want you to understand that. God always shows up with an answer when everything seems lost. He always shows up with a resurrection when everything seems dead. We can embrace uncertainty with the certainty of knowing that God's still in control. My last point today, for all of you that have ever wondered, can Pastor Jim not be long-winded? I am here for you today. That's the biggest hallelujah I've gotten out of you ever, sis. We'll be talking after service. This is on record. Point number 3, even though life is uncertain, God is still certain. I don't want to just have it be a resonating anthem today or some kind of cheerleading charge. I want it to be a truth that embeds in your spirit, in your mind, in your soul, in your heart, in your life. No matter how uncertain your world gets, there is one thing for certain. And that is, He is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. He is the one who is, and He's the one who is to come. He is the great I Am. If they ask you, this is what God said to Moses. If they ask you who I am, just tell them, I Am has sent you. How many know, no matter what happens in your life, you need to be declaring with every circumstance and situation that the I Am is in charge of your life. Deuteronomy 31:8, one of my favorite verses. Some of you need to begin to memorize it. Not begin, you need to memorize it. This is what it says. It is the Lord who goes before you. Give me an amen. It is the Lord who goes before you. He will be with you. He will not. Here's the command. Do not. Don't do it. Don't do it. It is the Lord who goes before you. He will be with you. He will not leave you or forsake you. Do not fear or be dismayed. Although life is uncertain, even though the world can seem to be so uncertain, God is not uncertain. He's still got the whole world in His hands. This is how you can have peace in the midst of the storms. Hear this morning. Our confidence is in a God who keeps His promises. I want everybody to look at me because I want to ask you a direct question. Has God, in His word or personally in your life, ever declared a promise to you that has not come about? If that question right there, boom, yes, He has not kept a promise for me, that's the person that needs to be here Thursday. I'm trying to boost the prayer meeting. Yes, I am. Because if you go in to cataclysmic days ahead, not sealed, that your God is for you and not against you, you will continue to flounder with what God wants to do through you. Even when life seems uncertain, God is not. I want to remind you that our God is at work. He's active, He's present, and He's working together for the good of those who love Him in all things. None of us know this morning what the future holds. I don't know what the future holds for you, for me, for our families, for our nation, for Israel, for the world. But I have absolute confidence in the one who holds the future. Regardless of what we see or don't see, we have the opportunity to embrace a faithful God who, through circumstances that are difficult, situations that may seem impossible, we believe He's still at work. How many this morning with a declaration of a raised hand believe beyond a shadow of a doubt that God is still at work? That He's not forsaken. He's still at work. He's still at work. We are confident that if He's still at work, He's still in control. I want to encourage you to make a commitment to embrace your faithful God, regardless of what's going on in the world around you or regardless of what has happened to you in the past. And that's why we can be confident. That's why this morning we can be confident of this one thing. He's still got the whole world in His hands. Stand with me, please. I'm going to close this in prayer. When I do I'd like everybody that could just to remain seated because you're going to miss something. I'm going to pray and our live stream audience is going to be blessed to go on without their week, but I want to address this congregation this morning for just a few more moments after that. Father, I thank You and I praise You this morning that You still have the whole world in our hands. You have the whole world in Your hands. You have the whole world in Your hands. And Father, You're going to use us to be Your hands and feet extended. That's the exciting part of how this works that sometimes we can't even embrace or understand.
And Lord, I pray this morning for people that have walked in a faith that has been tainted by doubt and discouragement of issues that have happened in this life that they feel like you haven't answered or intervened in. That's caused them to justify being lukewarm, having a form of godliness but denying the power. It's because of major situations that's happened in people's lives, major hurts, major wounds. Things that in your sovereignty and the things that they have been taught in your omnipotence and your omnipresence and your omniscience, that you didn't stop the accident. You didn't stop the abuse. You didn't stop the situation. You didn't stop the hurt. And there's a seed, there's a thorn, there's a hook from the enemy that brings it back. It brings it back. It brings it back. Yeah, God's got the whole world in his hands, but he hasn't had me. Father, I bind that. I bind that personal attack against people's faith right now in Jesus' name. Father, I pray that people will begin to get in your word like they've never got in your word, because your promises are yes and amen. Father, I pray that we'll begin to pray and fast like we've never prayed and fasted. And Lord, I pray that the things of this world that have tried to connect to us privately, or the things of this world, the residue and sin of this world that we have continued to use as an undertow behind the scene that no one knows of, I pray right now that the things of this world will grow strangely dim in the light of your glory and grace. Because there's a fresh glory and there's a fresh grace and a fresh anointing that's about to be unleashed across this land, even in the midst of the turmoil and the heartache that's coming. And Father, we want to exemplify that, I pray in Jesus' name. And everyone said, amen.
Thank you for joining us. A special thank you to those of you that give generously to this ministry. It is because of you that this ministry is possible. You can click the link in the description to give now, or visit refugecity.church for more information on how you can become a part of that team. If you've enjoyed the podcast, you can subscribe, you can share it with your friends, you can take a screenshot and share it on your social stories, and make sure to tag us at Refuge City Church. Thanks for listening.